I know we're all going to enjoy Clyde today. It's my honor to introduce him, but actually, I just met him today myself. I got connected with him, spoke to him on the phone through John. John, we miss you when you hear this link. We love you. We miss you. We're praying for you in Juarez. And Clyde actually is good friends with our friends, Callie and Cindy, over in Baytown at Celebration of Life. He's got Lewis Ministries International. I believe he has something to do with the Portland, Oregon Police Department. He's a chaplain there. He's a business consultant. He's a prophetic business consultant. He ministers to ministries and to businesses to help them get in line with the will of God. So today, let him help you. Clyde, we're just so happy you're here. We're joyful that you came, and even not knowing us, you just decided to risk it. And so come on up and take your liberty in the Lord.
Thank you so much. Come on, let's see if we've got some praise. Amen. Come on, can you have got some praise? Come on, how many know he's good? Come on, how many know he's good? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many know that you've been redeemed? Oh, man, it's amazing to be here. It is so good to be in Houston again. Pastor Kelly and those guys, when John called me, he called me in the summertime out of the blue. And I said, well, who is this? I'm like, I have so many calls and people asking and talking. And I'm thinking, who is this person? And he just simply said, Pastor Kelly gave me your number. And I'm like, oh, boy. And so he said, hey, would you... we're looking for a fresh prophetic voice, and I'm thinking, oh, man. I just said, okay, let's schedule to be with your young adults, and let's do Zoom. And they're trying to get me to come out here first, and I'm like, I'm very careful about where I go. Because in the world, you have to ask God all the time, are you inviting me into a scenario? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? To ask. And so I'm saying, God, are you inviting me into this? And I simply told them, I said, John, let me ask the Lord about this. Let me, I love going places. And if you hang out with me a little bit longer, you'll know what I do and all that. And it's beautiful. It's great. When the Lord said, yes, I'm inviting you into this scenario, I said, great, we can do it. And then poor John, I felt bad because every time he calls me, I'm always somewhere in the nations. And I'm like, dude, you got to call me back. I'm like on a tour bus right now, or I'm on this. And he's like, oh, man. And so we end up meeting with the young people, and it was beautiful, Zoom. And thank God for Zoom. But how many of you are Zoomed out? How many tired of a Zoom? Amen. We did it, which, a lot of times we do that with people around the nation, and it's really beautiful. That was great. And then I thought I was done with that assignment. And then he called me back again. And I'm saying, dang, God, you don't let up, my man. Like, all right, buddy, okay, I'm coming. I will come. And here we are today. So thank God for you. To this amazing, your pastors. I'm inspired by you and your husband. You talk with my assistant Michael, and he was coming back to me. He's like, Pastor, you're gonna like these guys. They're amazing. And I'm like, oh man, that's super awesome. But I'm inspired so much is because your heart for young people is out of this world. Do you understand? I go to places where it is like dead. Dead as a doorknob. And you have to wake up things. Come on, somebody. And I'm like, wow. So as I'm praying, I'm in the hotel last night just kind of hanging out. Like, and Jesus, where's my friends at? I need some friends around here. Like, I'm just giving you a hard time. And so I'm praying. I'm getting up early this morning. I never miss my board meeting with my best friend, the Holy Spirit. I don't care where I'm at in the nation. I never miss my board meeting. I don't care where I'm at. I'm going to have my board meeting with my best friend. I do it every morning. And I was praying this morning, and even as we were in worship, I kept hearing the Lord say, I said, Lord, tell me about the atmosphere. What's the pulse on the atmosphere here? And here's what the Lord said prophetically. He said, it's an atmosphere that invites. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have created an atmosphere that's inviting. there are places in the world that's not so inviting. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So you have created an atmosphere that's inviting. It's because of your leaders and because of what they have allowed the Holy Spirit to come in to do what he does best. And when you invite the Holy Spirit in, you cannot come in this way in here messed up, jacked up. You will go out transformed. Come on, somebody. And so I was just sitting there in beauty, just saying, man, this is so beautiful. Sometimes I get like this. I'm like, man, which way do I go? It's so like, oh my gosh, like, you know, this is like, what do I do here? Like, this is like a, I'm like, oh my, I'm overwhelmed. Like, I can't take it right now. And watching your pastor, she's just leaping up and down. I'm thinking, my gosh, she's incredible. Where did she come from? I was in the hotel praying, and then I got here. I've never laid eyes on them. My wife said, you've never been there? I'm like, no, I don't even know these people. And many times I'm like that. I don't know. They just find me, and they ask me to come, and I just trust the Lord. Lord, help me. Take care of me. And I get in here, and I'm like, wow, she's incredible. And I can't wait to meet her husband. My bishop, Bishop Bill Hammond, that's my bishop. He's 90. Still trekking, still moving. God is not done with Epic Center. He's not done. He's about to do something great. Come on, somebody. Amen. This is amazing. And so I'm so excited to be with you. Let's pray. I'm going to get into the word, and I'm going to prophesy. Father, I thank you for this great time. I thank you for the word of the Lord. Lord, move supernaturally. Release the spirit of prophecy to flow. God, I thank you for this house. I thank you for the ecclesia on this side of the country. Father, I decree and declare that you move supernaturally now. Shift anthropomorphically. Oh, God, I decree that revival will touch down in the Epic Center in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you right now for the presence of your presence in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. I was praying, Lord, anywhere I go in the nation, I'm always asking God, if you were to go to this place or this region, what would you say based, and I'm asking based in my identity, because yeah, I may be an apostolic prophet, but that's not my identity. That's a role. That's a title. I don't get my identity from that. So I'm asking God, if you were here in the Epic Center, I love the name. I just got to preach that word, Epic Center. I love that. And the Lord says, dynamic. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20. I want you to look at this, and I want you to grab hold. If you're keeping notes and you're by way of online, you can write this subject. I kind of got two subjects, but I'm going to give you the first one. The Lord kept telling me as I was praying, he says, the power that prevails, the power that prevails. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the power that prevails? It's God's dunamis for your life's purpose. Come on, somebody. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20. From the NLT, it says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within you. Someone say, at work within me. To accomplish his infinite more than we might ask or think. Ask or think. Acts chapter 1 verses 8 says, but you will receive power. Dunamis. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You receive power. Come on, somebody. You receive. And you will be my witnesses. Telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Wow. I love this because I love the way that the King James and the Passion Translation says, we celebrate Elohim, who supercharges us powerfully from within. It's like supercharge. There's something inside you called dunamis, that supercharges you. How many know that you need a supercharge every day? Some of you look at me strange and fine. Let me help me press my claim. Our biggest request is most amazing dreams cannot match the extravagant proportion of the thoughts towards us. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. I love the Passion Translation way it says this now. Never doubt God's mighty power at work in you to accomplish all. He will achieve infinite more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power is consistently energizing you. I want to help you this morning. Epics, I want to help you this morning. You're like my family. You're my family. Come on, somebody. Do you know that God's power, the power that defines and builds up us, it truly looks like joy. Power is joy. It's joy, amen? It's the beautiful joy. Imagine the power that's not just for survival, but for transformation. A power that does not only is in you, but works through you. Reshaping your life in the world around you. Today, I want us to dive into the dunamis power. God's dunamis is mighty. It's supernatural. It reveals his character and kingdom, transforming us, empowering us, enabling us to overcome darkness. Everyone has some things to overcome in life. And you cannot do it by yourself. But you can do it with the dunamis that's on the inside of you. Amen? So the wrong view of ourselves is compromises things that we come to believe about ourselves. Usually it's sourced or based in trauma, traumatic situations that informs our being of our lifetime. So something happened to me and it goes bad. And I draw the conclusion that I'm a failure. I'm not worthy or not loving enough. I'm unseen. I look wrong. All these things are from a negative situation. We pull or someone tries to say something about us out of it, and we take it as an identity with no real way to question it. We look at God. When I was looking at the Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20, I'm saying, God, your power is at work with us, but why do we listen to the world who is always labeling us? And the world is always labeling you to say that you do not have what God is saying that you do have. And I've come to serve notice this morning to let you know that you've got the dunamis power that's already in you. The moment that you said Jesus and you accepted him, you got dunamis in you. Tell your neighbor, I got some dunamis power today, and I'm about to break through. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's a dunamis power that you have nothing to prove. You have nothing to prove yourself to nobody. You have nothing to do. I was doing a wedding in Phoenix a couple days ago, and then I flew home. And as I'm getting ready to march in, go in, and the groom's right next to me, I'm saying, God, I don't think I have enough to do this. I am afraid. And the Lord says, tell me right now, tell me your identity, because you have nothing to prove to these people. Now go in your identity and officiate. What am I saying? It's the power that's on the inside of me that makes me move forward. Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? So point number one is, who is dunamis for? It's the empowerment for God's work. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses. What he's saying to you and I is that when you go back to work on Monday morning, see, I look at scripture, this must work on Monday morning. This must work on Monday morning. If I'm talking about the Word of God, the Logos, the Graphe, I must work on Monday morning, Tuesday. I don't need something that's not going to work. I need something that's going to work, because I didn't came too far to be on my own. I'm tired of doing things on my own. I need God to make it work. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So he says, you need, he says, when you will receive power, dunamis, on Monday morning, tomorrow. When you are faced with situations, you need some dunamis to make a decision. Let me help you. Who is dunamis for? It reminds us that dunamis is not reserved for the select few. It is for everyone who called by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is God. God is equipping us to do his work, not by our strength, but through the divine power. It's by God giving you power to do what he wants you to do. Probably when you came into this building years ago, it didn't look like this. But you had to come together as a church and pray, fast, and believe God for the finances to make it look like what you have today. You had to trust the dunamis on the inside to come to work together. And when the Holy Spirit is on the scene, everything begins to line up. Watch this, because the enemy is always trying to get you to walk out of your identity so that he can destroy you. Oh, let me press my claim. It's like David and Goliath. David steps on the scene. His brothers try to put on the armor. He said, nah, don't try to put something on that don't fit me. So he gets his, he says, I got this. I just need a slingshot. He looks at Goliath, but here's what we know about David. David, when David was winning, he inquired of the Lord. But when David was losing, when he thought to himself. Oh, let me say it again. Let me say it again. When you know that you're winning in something because you got dunamis on the inside of you, this is not in my notes. When you have dunamis on the inside, it's when you inquire of God. That's when you win. But when you think to yourself, you start losing. The question I want to ask Epic Church, what are you inquiring? Are you inquiring of yourself or are you inquiring of God? Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? Let me help you. Have you ever wondered if you're truly capable of fulfilling God's calling? What's the strength? What strength do you have already given to you? What strength is God saying, I'm inviting you into this? Let me help you, church. God is always inviting you into things. He's always inviting you into scenarios. Everywhere I go, when I'm doing identity, I'm always talking to people. It's amazing to me, Epic Church. It's amazing to me. Let me tell you that we can hear the voice of the enemy all day long. But when it comes to God's voice, we doubt it, question it, ask for 20 different confirmations. And the reason why we do that is because the voice of the enemy never requires faith. But the voice of God always requires faith. And we are fearful to ask God questions because it's how we view yourself, how I view God, and how I view the world. And so I'm asking you this question is, have you ever wondered if you truly are capable of fulfilling God's calling in your life? You have strength. God is inviting you into something. He's inviting you to start a new business. He's inviting you to start a new business. He's inviting you into things. And he says, you're not doing this by yourself. I'm right with you, and you're never alone. Get this out of your mind that you're alone and you're powerless. You are not alone and you're not powerless because you got dunamis on the inside of you. The Greek word for dunamis means inherent power. It means capability. It's not just something we manufacture, but rather a force that's implanted within us by God. Just as a seed that holds within its potential. To become a tower tree, dunamis within us holds the potential to move mountains, heal hearts, and break change. You got dunamis on the inside of you to break change, to break things. I'm telling you what's been holding you back in this season of your life. You've had the power on the inside to break the things. You're a chain breaker. You have the power to break chains in your life. Stop allowing the enemy to destroy you and say, no, I will not be destroyed because my God, your God, says I have dunamis on the inside. It's dunamis. The enemy is saying, no, you're not good enough. Who's telling you that? It's like when God walks in the garden and he comes to Adam and Eve and he says, hey, come, Adam, come out. Hey, what's up? He says, who told you to hide in fear, guilt, shame, and trauma? Who told you? Who told you you were naked? That's what you got to ask yourself all the time. I'm doing this all the time. And I'm like, God, I don't think I'm good enough. I don't know. He said, who's telling you that? Who's telling you that? It's what we believe. It's what we believe. Yes, the situation, the scenario is true, but your understanding of it is false. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? So it's this reality. Imagine electrical power station sitting dormant, full of potential, useless until it is connected to a circuit. That's similarly like dunamis within us. But it requires our willingness to connect with God's purpose. I love what Kathleen Kuhlman says. God is not looking for a golden vessel or a silver vessel. He's looking for a yielded vessel. God is looking for a yielded vessel in this hour. And I think I came to a place, a church that is saying has a collective body, we want to yield to the presence of God because we want not just receive revival, we want to live revival and we want to experience revival. Oh my God. Did I come to the right place that said I want revival? Did I come to the right place that said I don't care what it looks like? I don't care what they say about me. I can look crazy. I can look messed up. But I'm looking for a place that's called revival. Can I get a witness here? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It is a mighty power exploding on the inside of you. The prophetic word on your life will work if you yield to the prophetic word about what God says about you. Do you understand what I'm saying? They got this chocolate delight up here. They probably thinking, he preaching like this? What in the world? Chocolate delight. Do you understand? Watch this. Here it is. Once you understand that dunamis is for us and in us, the next question is, what does this power do within us? What does that power do within us? The power cannot be dormant, but the power has something to do. Hope you got that. The power doesn't sit dormant. The power has something to do. It has something to do where your livability, where you cannot move, the power steps in. Pastor may be in the hospital, but the dunamis is still there in the hospital bed. God Almighty. The power may be in he may be in the hospital, but I'm telling you, the dunamis is in there, and because the dunamis is there, the hospital is safe because the kingdom of God is in the hospital. When you step on the scene, when you come to your office on Monday morning, the presence of God is with you. And they would say that the power of God is here. The power of God is here. Oh, man. Point number two is, what is transformation? It's the inner strength. I want you to get this. If you don't get anything I say this morning, I want you to get this. That transformation is the inner strength. It's a dunamis inner renewal. Every day, you have the power to renew your strength. Watch this. Stop listening to the naysayers in social media and TikTok and everything else out there to renew your strength. They are looking for somebody to renew their strength. When you have a power plant, as my bishop says, on the inside of you to renew your strength. When you spend time praying in the Spirit of God and you begin to call down fire on heaven from on high, and all of a sudden you begin to start praying, you start getting the inner strength. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that mean? God doesn't do formulaic. We got to get out of this formulaic thinking. When I look at scripture, I look at it from my identity, and I read it from my identity, and I will never probably preach this message ever again because it is for you. See, God is always doing, get out of the formulaic thinking, the thinking patterns, formulaic. And what that means is we go back to our own skill set.
Right.
When we get afraid, we go right back into our own skill set versus coming to the one who can give you inner strength. That's what I tell business owners and leaders. Stop. God is, he said in Isaiah, he says, I am doing a new thing. Can't you see? What he's saying is that what you did last year doesn't work for this moment. We are really good at going, when we get nervous, go back into our skill set. Isn't it amazing how your skill set doesn't work? Ephesians chapter 3:16 says, I pray that out of his glory, his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power, dunamis, there it is again, through the Holy Spirit within your inner being. What does this power look like on the inside? Dunamis isn't just an outward power. It renews and transforms us within. This transformation gives us resiliency. It gives us hope. It gives us courage. It gives us power to live fearlessly, rooted in our true identity in Christ. It gives you power. It's just to renew. It's to say, God, transformation is an invitation for conversation, for transformation. That's what transformation is designed to do. It is designed to transform you within, because your identity is a gift to your family. It's a gift to the world. Let me tell you something, church, that God wants to renew you every day, but you got to give him permission to renew. It's amazing, because we have a problem in receiving. We do not know how to receive in. We don't know how to receive. We don't even know what freedom. They have done research, especially about receiving and freedom. It is proven that we don't even know what freedom really looks like. Freedom to be free. When he says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. If we're truly free, then why are we still dealing with the same things that we had 10 years ago? Freedom, when he says truly free, is connected to transformation. Transformation is simply saying, repentance is God speaking back to you what is actually true, to transform, to go in the new way based on what he's saying. To be transformed means to walk out what the Father has spoken to you, and when you walk it out, you start seeing something new that you've never seen before. I believe that's what God is saying for this house. Is that you've been here before, but now we're going to take you to another level. You've got prophetic promises on this house, but now it's time to walk it out as an ecclesia so that you can see what I've been declared over you. My God, help me, somebody. I feel like exploding up here. My God. Here it is. I want you to understand, even in your own personal life, God is saying, hey, I'm inviting you into this. What are you afraid of? Let me press my claim here. What are you actually afraid of? What? Because they're saying you can't do it? Because your family's saying you? What are you afraid of? I am doing things today because God's inviting me into it. And I'm telling you, I'm working on some things right now. I'm thinking, God, I don't understand. You don't have to understand it all, but what you do have to understand is obedience. Right. Obedience. It means to hear and respond appropriately to what God is asking of you. Let me help you with this. Some of you are looking at me strange. I was just got done doing a sermon series a couple weeks ago at our church. And for the last 2 years, I would say everywhere I'm at, I would say, Lord, I will see a Tesla. I said, I'm going to get a Tesla. That's mine. I'm getting a Tesla. And I would just claim it. I just declare it. Well, I was done preaching our sermon series on suit up out of Ephesians chapter 6. And the Lord says, now it's time. You have to pay attention. We call it meta-narrative. I can be speaking to this young man right here. What's your name? Andrew. He's looking at me. Wow, are you talking to me? Yes, I'm talking to you, Andrew. I can speak to Andrew. And as I'm speaking to him, I'm hearing meta-narrative. God is speaking to me at the same time. What does that mean? That means you have to pay attention, because when he's speaking in the atmosphere or situations, God is always speaking. I can be ministering to this young man, but God is speaking to me. And so as I'm preaching, the Lord says, now it's time. So we were going to look for houses. We're house hunting right now. And so I told my wife, I had to get down with service. I said, we're driving to look for houses. And I said to her, I said, I'm going to go get a Tesla today. She's like, really? I was like, yeah. She's like, why? I'm like, because I want one. Because I've been declaring it. And she's like, I guess, whatever. And my daughter was like, she's 17 years old. She's so cute, little chocolate drop. Oh, my gosh. And my son, he's so handsome. And they're like, Dad, you're getting a Tesla? I'm like, yeah, we're going to get one. Yes, Jesus. We're going to get one. We're believing God. And so we get that house setting, and I drop them off, and I pull a line, and I go to the first dealership, and all of a sudden, I see one, and I'm like, okay, I'm going there. What am I doing? I'm going in faith, transform. I'm going in the power that's working within me. My God, I feel like preaching this thing. I'm going in the things that God's called me to do. I'm going in the power, obedience. I don't necessarily know what it looks like. I don't know what it looks like. You are not going to know what it looks like. I'm afraid. I'm driving my church car to the dealership, and I'm like, and I get in there, and I'm like, I don't know where to park, and I'm just having this anticipation that all these salespeople are going to start coming out here to help me out. I didn't see but one guy. I got out of the car. I said, hey, brother. I said, hey, you got Tesla here? No, I don't think we have one here. It's a Toyota dealership. I don't think we have one here. I'm like, well, it says on your website you have one. He's like, no, that's the other one. Thank you. God bless you. Get in the car. Go out to the other one. And as I'm driving out there, I look over and I see a car dealership. Armstrong Volkswagen, 2 Teslas. I didn't think anything of it. I just focus on the second location. I get to the second location. I walk inside. The worst thing to do, I walk up to the receptionist, and I said, hey, I'd like to talk to a salesperson. I said, hey, this guy would like to talk to a salesperson. And worst thing, young girl comes up. She's like, hey, what can I do for you? I'm looking for a Tesla. Ooh. We don't have one. I say, what's on your website? And she's like, well, let me go ask. And then I hear the guy talking that we don't have it. I'm like, okay, great. She goes back. She says, why do you want a Tesla? Because I want a Tesla. Because I'm called for a Tesla. And she's like, well, can I get you interested in another EV? Nope. I leave. Hush here with the Holy Spirit. He says, I want you to go out the car. I want you to go out. I want you to turn left up, and I want you to drive up, and then I want you to turn around and come back down the hill. I did that, and he says, now look over. And I remember the 2 Teslas. I get into the parking lot. Pastor, I get in there, and I get out of the car, and I walk up to the first one, and right there, bam! See, because I know God's voice so well. I have a thing. I don't question God. I've learned to not question. I know him. I know his voice. I just know. I don't question. I don't doubt. I just know. Just like when the Lord says, I'm inviting you to come here to Houston. I just know. I'm here. Here I am right here. There's chocolates in your church right now. I'm right here. I'm just right here. Hey. From Portland, Oregon. And I'm right here. And so I get in there. And I'm like, this is it. This is the one. I go inside. And the Lord says, stay in my power. See, he's talking to me. Stay in my power. Stay in the truth. Stay in the truth in the sun. I go in there. The car, I mean, it was the most peaceful place. And one guy comes out and he says, hey, I'm with a customer. I'll get somebody. Another young man. He calls a guy. The guy comes up. His name is Samuel. Samuel comes up. I'm like, oh, Samuel. Yes. Hi, Samuel. And I was like, I'm looking for a Tesla. He's like, oh, yeah, let's go out there. So I go out and we get in the Tesla. We get in this Tesla, and I'm looking around like, oh, this is so beautiful. Yes, this is it. And I'm like, okay, thank you so much. And he's like, don't you want to take it for a test drive? Yes, sir. Let's take it for a test drive. Take it for a test drive. And he showed me everything around. And then we get back to the dealership. I said, hypothetically, this is when you don't want them to sell you. You kind of come off like you're strong and everything. How many have been to a car dealership before? Don't look at me. How many have been to a car dealership and you come in there already defensive, already got your, you ain't going to sell me today. How many been there before? Yes, you didn't did. And that's what I was like. And he's like, And the guy was so beautiful. It was beautiful. I get out of the car, and the guy didn't say anything. I said, hypothetically, if I sell this, what our church car, what would this look like and all that? He said, well, let's take a look. And I said to him, I want to tell you something right now. Thank you so much for not trying to sell me. Thank you. He said, oh, no, I get it, man. I totally understand. We get up to the car, blah, blah, blah. They do all their things. He takes me into his office. And then all of a sudden, he sits me down. And he says, let me go put your numbers to the sales manager. I get into the sales manager's call me back to his office 10 minutes later. And this is the weirdest thing. And I'm like, here we go. Lord, here we go. That's what I said to the Lord. Here we go. I got to have to fight these folks up in here. I'm about to put my, dukes up in this bad boy. I knew it was too quiet up in here. Get in there. And the guy's like, I don't want you to sit down. I want you to come behind my desk. What? Come behind your desk. He said, I want you to see what you see. I want you to see what I'm seeing. And he's like, hey, man. He's like, I don't want to damage your credit. Like, when did you get this vehicle? Your company got this vehicle. I said, probably 2 years ago. He's like, yeah. He said, that's the issue. We're seeing people that got cars when the pandemic and everything happened, and they were just trying to get rid of them, and now people are trying to get rid of them because they're upside down. You're one of these guys that are upside down in this. You're like $10,000 in this bad boy, so you're going to have to let go. Here it is, dunamis, the power that's working within me. And I'm like, okay, thank you. And then I leave, and the Lord says to me, it's not over. Hear what I'm saying to you. There are things in your life that have been promised to you. Can I get a witness? How many have some things that God has promised some things? There are some things that are not over yet. And so he says, now I go home and I can't get this thing out of my mind. It's like an extra heartbeat. And the Lord says, it's not over. And then all of a sudden, I'm telling our team, I'm telling my staff, we have a couple church plants, I'm telling our pastors and keeping them up abreast. And the Lord says, and I look at some YouTube thing or some Carvana thing, I've never looked at that before. And the Lord says, no. I looked at the Carvana and I said, I think this can work. Call the dealership back. I call the dealership back and I say, hey, I think I can make this work. And the guy says to me, I think we can make it work. Ah, oh, we're in it. Dunamis. Holy Spirit, breathing life. I believe prophetically that God's about to breathe life on you. I believe, if just by showing hand, how many of you got to breathe some life over some situations right now? Come on, just lift your hands. Father, I decree right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, breathe life. Breathe life over them right now in the name of Jesus. Breathe. Breathe on them. Breathe on their situation. Breathe. Let them feel it right now in Jesus' name. Just say, Lord, I receive all that you have for me right now. I receive in Jesus' name. See, that's what I had to do. So I called the guy at 3:30 at the dealership on a Tuesday. And he's like, I think we can make this work, Clyde. I said, okay, great. The next day, Wednesday comes around, 3:30 again. I said, hey, what's up with the deal? He's like, we got two deals for you. Yeah. Oh, my God. Come on. Yeah. I said, shut up. I said, I'm on my way down. I'm going to take an Uber. I'm on my way to get my Tesla. I know that to be true. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I get in the Tesla. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to get my Tesla. She's like, okay. And so next thing you know, I get out to the dealership and I tell the guy, I said, are you sure? Are you sure this is deal? They're done. See, that's when you start doubting. You do not doubt. Mark 11:23-24. Do not doubt in your heart, but believe what you pray for. And so next thing you know, I get in there. The guy gets me in the office. Because it's a new partner. Because my guy was gone visiting his family. And he says, Mr. Lewis, go and have a seat. We got all your paperwork, but we're going to need some more financial things. I thought this was done. Holy Spirit says, shh, quiet. Stay in your identity as a peacekeeper who brings reconciliation into conflict zones and pulls people out of conflict. Stay in that identity right now. Do not be afraid. They're just asking. They need more clarification. It is okay. And so I was like, oh, here's the information. I give them to him. And then the guy comes back. He says, is there any other way? I'm like, yep. He's like, I think we got this. So you're good to go. I go back out to the Tesla. And the Lord says, now start declaring. Pray over it right now. Start declaring. Speak to it. See, it's not about the Tesla. It's about what God is trying to teach me, his power. God will show you some things to teach you about it. And then he says, shout grace, grace over it. Zechariah 4:7. Grace, grace! Sometimes you got to shout grace, grace to situations. God gave me grace for the place. And so all of a sudden, as I was shouting over the thing, I come back in. He said, Mr. Lewis, let's go ahead and sign your paperwork. You're all done. Hold on. Let me take a deep breath. Hold on, Lord Jesus. I get out that bad boy. I say, yeah, Jesus. All glory to God. Yes, yes, Lord. Woo. Drove home in that Tesla. Didn't know what was going on. All the buttons and all the things. I said, this is too much for me. Woo. And I get in the house, and my kids are like, they're coming home from school. And my daughter, she's always my noticer. She's like, what? You will not eat in this car? And you know how many of your parents say that you first think? And all of a sudden, you start loosening up. And it was amazing. The next day is where the challenge comes. The bank calls him back and says, the dealer calls him back and says, hey, you may have to bring it back because we can't understand your financial things with your business and your housing allowance from your church and all that. We don't understand it. And he's like, let me work on it. And so the whole time, watch this. The whole time, the whole morning, I'm like, God, what is going on? I am not taking this. He's like, you're not taking this back. And I'm going down praying. My wife, she's like, Clyde, God would not promise you something then take it back. So I'm walking through this process. And the Lord says, son, I want you to stop right now. I want you to get up as if the day has and start your day knowing that you already have the vehicle. So I do all that. The Lord says, I want you to go to the church and I want you to go pray. And I want you to take communion over the title. And I want you to pour blood over it. And I want you to declare it. And then other little things happen. At the end of the story, when I called the guy back the third time, and I was telling him what my CPA told me, because they were got it all jacked up. He's like, I don't understand why they can't get this. They need to look at this, they need to look at that. And it's all in there. You should be fine. I call the guy back and I'm telling him the story. He's like, hold on, Clyde, hold on. I just got an email from the bank. Hold on, just hold on. He's like, you are approved. And I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. I told you, I said, you don't understand, brother. I've been praying all day and I knew that vehicle ain't going back to you. It belonged to me. What am I teaching you? Here's what I want to teach you. When God invites you into something, you're in the middle of the tension. And you have to stay in the process of the tension and do not give up. It may not look like it's going to work, but it's what we believe because all memory is learned. And when you feel like something has not worked, it's the back of the brain, the amygdala, where the assessment center that shuts down because of past situations. But when you move it forward into the prefrontal cortex, and move it forward to the left brain, which all the imagination and all the dreams and all the things come forth, and you stay right there, and the dunamis will start flowing. I believe that God has got you in a season right now where he says, you got to trust me in this season. Because dunamis is not just for anybody. Dunamis is for you. Here it is. What areas in your life are in need of an inner renewal? Are you allowing God's power to bring healing, to change and heal where you are? Where are you needing dunamis right now? Where are you needing dunamis? Dunamis it points to the inner might. You have inner might in you. It shows us that dunamis strengthens us at the core. And that's what God was saying to me. He says, at the core. Even as I was prepping and getting ready to come out here, the Lord says, I want you to understand that dunamis is not something that you talk about. Dunamis is something that you live. Dunamis is what we live. We sing about God. We sing about the Holy Spirit. But now we got to live it out loud in the world. It's the dunamis. Here it is. If you want dunamis to work in us, empower us from the inside, then also we must also arm ourselves with what we must confront in the world. There are things right now. I'm talking to people right now who are so overwhelmed by this political stuff that has just happened. And it always goes right back to, you didn't vote for this person, you're not on my team. I'm talking to people right now whose families have disowned them. One family member and her new husband is about to move from Portland to Georgia because they don't want to be with the family because they voted for Trump. This is how serious that the world is divided. I can, at the end of it, yes, we understand those things. And I'm not here political. I understand that. But you have to look at, wait a minute, hold on. I love what James says. James chapter 4, verses 1 says, what's the argument? What's the squabbling? What's the war? Doesn't the war start within you? War in here, war out there. God would never put us in conflict with one another. It is the enemy that puts us in conflict. Do you understand? And the reality is don't get caught up by the noise of the world, but be caught up in the presence of God and let God begin to speak for you. Let me give you this little couple of thoughts, and I'm not going to finish this off. I want to prophesy, but I want you to understand this. I want you to get this this morning. It's why victory over darkness and strongholds. Dunamis has the power to overcome darkness. I'm going to land right here on this. We're in a world right now where things are unsettled still. We thought, oh, once we get the elections done, we're going to be good. No, you're not out of the woods. We're not out of the woods yet. We still need the church, you and I, the ecclesia, to rise up and still be the champion for the kingdom of God. And when we understand the kingdom of God, then things will begin to line up. Ephesians 6:10, we know that scripture so well. Be strong in the Lord. Here it is. And the power of dunamis, his might. I want you to understand, church, that you've got in 2025. I believe that this church is going to stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You're going to stand strong in your homes. You're going to stand strong in education. You're going to stand strong in the seven mountains of influence because God has got a call on this house. Why does God give us power? It is the power to prevail over darkness and to break strongholds. And to break strongholds. See, here, let me tell you something. We talk about breakthrough all day long. But breakthrough, when you set breakthrough aside, you have to learn to let go. See, when you let go and you start receiving, now you're into breakthrough. What is God asking you to let go of? What is he asking you to let go so that you can experience breakthrough? Because let me tell you, my friends, when you experience breakthrough, everyone else around you experience breakthrough. When a person is free in breakthrough, then all of a sudden they become infectious and they start laying hands on people. I'm telling you, God is raising up preach prophets in this hour. He's raising up preach prophets in this hour. And I'm telling you something that God is saying, that you have the power to break strongholds. It's the dunamis. It's God. And not only that sustaining force, but it's a weapon. Dunamis is a weapon against the enemy. And the enemy knows that you have dunamis on the inside. That's why he comes after your identity. That's why he comes after who you are. Because he says you are prophetic people with a prophetic word. And you are the people of God, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God. And you must understand the enemy is trying to kill you. A boxer is trained to fight in their identity. A boxer is trained to fight in their identity. The opponent is trained the same way. The two of them are trying to get each other to fight out of their identity. But let me tell you something. When you fight, when you come out of your identity, the enemy's right there to destroy you. He's right there to get you to fight out of your identity. And I've come to tell you tonight, this morning, that the enemy's trying to get you to find your identity, but I've come to tell you this morning that God is saying you better stay flat-footed in your identity and fight with the power on the inside of you, because when you fight on the inside of the power on the inside of you, every demon and devil in hell will have to buckle and shut down, because the greater power is inside of you this morning. It's the greater power. What is the very thing that God is asking you to do? Every day when I walk into that police bureau, I'm 21 years into the police bureau. Every day I have to walk in. I used to say around the world, it's a different world going into the atmosphere. It's a different world. And God's like, stop saying that, because it's not a different world. These are people who are just doing an ordinary job. And you come in to bring the supernatural to the ordinary. You bring your identity into them and help them to come out of the conflict that they're in. It's like before I flew out here, Friday, I was talking to one of our young ladies who I was telling you about. Her sister is about to move to Georgia. And she's like, Clyde, I just need some advice. What am I going to do? I'm not there to preach at them. I'm here to say, God, if you were in this scenario, what would you say? And I'm saying this to her as I'm walking, looking at her face to face. God, what do you want me to know about this situation? That's the most powerful prayer that changed my life. It's in the theme of the book of Acts. God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? So God, what do you want me to know? And the Lord says, help her to understand the conflict of her sister and her sister's husband. And help her to understand the conflict if she steps into that. And so I'm sharing that with her, and she's like, oh, my God, Clyde, like, wow, that makes sense. Because, see, let me tell you something. As I'm moving to the prophetic time, anger is a secondary emotion to fear. There's only two fears in the world that we have. It's the fear of falling and fear of loud noises. Fear, the anger is the secondary emotion of anger. It's the secondary emotion. Anger is the secondary emotion to that. But it's because I'm angry because of injustice. What's the injustice? And when a person has injustice, it's because something has been stolen from them. I was doing a meeting out in Phoenix, not this trip around, but 2 weeks ago. And they put me on the phone with a young lady. I have a couple of our spiritual sons and daughters. They do a phenomenal business. They do identity marriage. And it's exploding around the globe. Exploding. And they put me on the phone with the wife to minister, to prophetic prophesy over her. But then I see the husband comes in. He instantly just came in because he was having the kids outside, out in the living room. And he comes in. And so we get done prophesying to her. And then they email it, text us back and say, hey, can Pastor Clyde talk to my husband? I said, sure, I'll jump on. So I jumped on with him. And I'm like, God, what's happening here? What do you want me to know about this young man? And then the Lord starts telling me. And I said, tell me. And the wife's like, he's an amazing husband, amazing father. But he's closed off. You can be in a house with your spouse, but still feel alone. And so I'm like, tell me why are you angry? What's on the inside? And he's like, well, I'm really not angry. Tell me what you're frustrated about. There it is right there. Frustration is anger. Tell me what you're frustrated about. And he simply said, because my parents got divorced when I was young. Everything in my past comes into the present. So I'm like, oh, okay. And he says, my parents got divorced. And I feel like I was the cause of it. He's 38 years old. I feel like I was the cause. He's been carrying that for 38 years. I feel like the cause. You know, I see people all day long who feel like they've been carrying burdens, false burdens of things in their lives for a long, long time. And I was like, wow. So your anger, that's the anger. Yes, that's the anger. But I don't display it inside. I hate myself. There it is. He's truth telling to me. Tell the truth. And from truth telling, I said, okay, so tell me what else. And he says, then I just don't know what to do. When you don't know your identity, you don't know what to do. Wow. And so then I said, tell me what was stolen from you. And there it is. My mom walked out of my life and I haven't seen her since. Stolen. And he begins to weep. And I lead him out of the conflict of his life into the true identity. And this is what God calls him. A son who has royalty and who's loved. Now go in that identity and lead your family. Because God won't speak to the negative. He cannot speak. It's not his nature. He doesn't speak to the false. He can only speak to the true you. And bam, here he is. Bam, he's up moving. See, it's the dunamis. I was praying this morning for you. And I was asking God, what's the prophetic word over this house? And I kept hearing the Lord say, I'm about to usher them into a new revival. A revival with a fresh sound that they haven't heard before. It's a sound of gathering. It's a sound of unity. It's a sound that's going to bring from the north, the south, the east, and the west.